It's just going to be clear. The Pittsburgh Steelers are still going to have offensive line problems in this season, but can they survive the season with those problems? We'll talk about that and a lot more here on today's episode of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined today by Jenna Harner. It's going to be a fun episode. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoyed. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content whenever we release it. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. As I said before, Jenna Harner's back. Jenna, it is the last Friday with no football on the end of it. I am so excited. How about you?
Chris, I am absolutely pumped. We're 1 week away. 1 week. The next time we do this show, we will be talking about the Steelers playing the Cincinnati Bengals. And I can't wait. I'm so excited.
We actually get to break down football. Now, full disclosure right now, as you're probably thinking, Chris is like, wow, Chris has a lot of energy after the backyard brawl. But aha, I'm recording this before the backyard brawl because, as you know, I'm a writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and I have to cover Pitt versus West Virginia Thursday night, which means this episode is being recorded Wednesday night, which means we will not have certain updates that might have happened between Wednesday night and Friday morning. So if there's something that's not there that they say the Steelers, they went and signed, I don't know, Hines Ward's ghost or something. He's not dead. I just killed Hines Ward. If they just went and signed someone like that and we don't have it, please understand that's just pardon our dust. It's part of the system. I know I'm not going to have any time Thursday to record an episode, but do enjoy this. I'm so glad Jenna had some time to be with us here on a Wednesday. So, Jenna, I got to ask you, I think it's a big question that everyone wants to see answered, and it's about the offensive line because it's more than the offensive line. It's about how the offense can survive without a viable offensive line for now, because I think people were hoping, and even people who were modestly hoping this, because some people out there, they think, well, the offensive line should be elite, Chris. They just should be elite every year. If they're not elite, then something's wrong and everyone needs to be fired. It's not that simple. But even the modest people who thought, hey, we would have just hoped to see some improvement, you haven't seen much of that. And, you know, people, we thought that Dan Moore Jr. might have a better preseason. He didn't. We thought James Daniels might get better. He was okay, but not what you signed him up to be. Honestly, the best offensive lineman was the guy everyone was so perplexed about when they re-signed him. It was Chukwuma Okorafor. But people were hoping that more guys would step up. And now you're sitting here. The Steelers went and got Jesse Davis, former Dolphin, former Viking, in a trade. But he's not a guy who really moves the meter a ton. And now everyone's wondering, well, are you just going to not have a great offensive line? Jenna, I think they're still hoping this offensive line could come together and grow in certain ways, but does this doom the offense to just have a really bad season, or is there enough talent among their skill position players and their quarterbacks, excuse me, with an S at the end, to overcome that and help them win some games?
Well, I think when you look at the offensive line as it is right now, it's one of those it can't get worse type situations.
But we say that every year, and then they push the luck.
and then we see what happened in the first quarter, first half of the preseason game against the Lions. I mean, for Steelers fans, I understand the frustration. I understand the fact that, okay, you want to see success because the whole offense really does run through the offensive line. Because if you have a solid offensive line, your run game gets going. You allow your quarterback to have more time to be able to make deep passes, things on those lines. I think there's a couple areas of this offense that do give me a lot of promise that this isn't just going to be an entire wash of the season when it comes to the offense. And I think first for me, it's whoever's in at quarterback, whether it is going to be Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. The escapability and what they can create and what they can do outside of the pocket, I think that is one of those situations where if the line does if the pocket collapses because of what's happening with the line and just the way that these guys are getting beat, you have a lot more mobility, agility.
Same thing. Mobility, mobile, agile, hostile. That's the old Denzel Washington, Remember the Titans thing, but go ahead.
I love it. All three of those things. I mean, you're getting an upgrade automatically from Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett compared to Ben Roethlisberger in those types of situations where if the pocket collapses, you at least can see these guys escaping out of it and being able to create something out of what looks like it might be nothing. I mean, that's what especially we've seen from Mitch a lot when he has been getting those reps early on in games. And granted, you know, the first two preseason games, it was limited series. But what we saw him do against the Lions, I think that does give Steelers fans, okay, a little bit of, hey, if this isn't great with the offensive line, especially with the way it's looking like it is to start the season right now, there's at least some promise there. And there's also so much promise. I mean, you and I have talked so much about just the depth of this receivers room. And I think that also speaks true to when the Steelers decided, hey, we're keeping a lot of these guys. We thought that for sure between Miles Boykin and Steven Sims, there's going to be at least one cut just because of the sheer number of guys that they have in that room right now.
I agree. And that's the thing is they have so many guys in the room. One thing I think you look across the board, no one thought they were keeping seven wide receivers.
No.
Everyone was expecting three tight ends, but they brought back Anthony McFarlane on the practice squad. So he's at least still with the team, but there's going to be a lot of questions is how do they use these guys? Who do they target the most? We're going to talk about that in the next segment, but I do agree that they've invested so much at these other positions that they are deep at these positions. Yeah. And I think they lucked into their depth at running back with the rise of Jalen Warren, because now you're sitting there saying, okay, him and Benny Snell, now you're not so mad about the depth behind Najee Harris right now. Yeah. You know, you do want Najee Harris to start. It's not like, oh, if he's hurt, it's no problem. But you have options there at the tight end room. Zach Gentry and Connor Hayward seem like viable backups for Pat Freiermuth. There's hope there. And that's where, like you said, there's a lot of different options across the board. And each of them, are guys that you can feel comfortable putting in the game as starters and saying like, hey, you know, you can go make a play. The question is, can they do that with an offensive line that's giving up pressure and not having the best run blocking situations? I'm one to think the offensive line, and I've said this all along, the offensive line is especially going to struggle early, and they're not going to become some really good offensive line later in the year. But I do think there is a chance for this, for a young offensive line to come together and improve at least somewhat by midseason. And I've told people week 8 is kind of my marker where, like, if this group hasn't at least shown a little bit of progress by then, hit the red flags. Like, this is a problem and this is going to be a lot worse. But I have to think that with some of these guys, they're going to figure out how to play together and they're not going to be asked to do as much. With Ben Roethlisberger last year, you had to protect him at all costs. Like, there's everything. He can't move. If there's pressure that gets in the backfield, then it's toast. And there were a couple times that he bought a time, but we've seen how Mitch Trubisky's worked under pressure. We've seen how Kenny Pickett's worked under pressure. Those guys especially look like they are built to handle those moments and keep the offense flowing. That's going to be a big part of this. I want to talk to Jenna about who ends up being the guy or guys that get the targets, the touches that sort of offset the offensive line problem, because that also leads into fantasy football talk, which, by the way, we do together as well at Channel 11 WPXI. That kicked up again this week, so we'll talk more about it on the other end. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. And with football season back, you want to get on all the lines, all the odds, all the prop bets. Everything that you can bet on with the NFL can be bet on at BetOnline. Of course, there's also the NBA when that returns. NHL is around the corner as well in just a month or two here. But also, Major League Baseball, it's September now, which means it's getting close to playoff time. So there's a lot of fun things to put your money down on. Go to BetOnline, your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn about the trends of the action when you visit BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Hunter of Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, I got to ask about, you know, targets and where kind of the offset goes. Because for years, when things went south with the Steelers off, when Ben Roethlisberger had nothing else he could count on Antonio Brown. And he would throw it in his general direction. And a lot of times that worked. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes teams preyed on that. But is there a guy on this roster that you think is that person who, when Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, whoever is playing in at quarterback, and you know the chips are on the table, it's late in the game, and the pressure's on, not just with the pressure, the timing of the game, but also the defense is turning up the pressure by throwing blitzes at a not good offensive line. Who is the guy that you think will be the person that becomes that release valve, that safety valve, slash that X-factor playmaker who can save the offense at times?
Well, I think there's three guys that my mind initially goes to here. The obvious one seemingly to be Deontay Johnson, just in the sense of even what we saw from the connection between him and Mitch Trubisky in that third preseason game against the Lions. That deep ball was at 37 yards.
Yeah.
That pass was phenomenal, but just the way that Deontay was able to make the play and kind of, you know, lay out for that catch and just, you know, put his body on the line type of thing. I think we're going to see that, no doubt, this season. I'm also going to continue to tell people, because you and I saw it all throughout training camp, and I think people are starting to hear it a little bit, but learning a little bit more, George Pickens is going to be that guy too, in my opinion, where you're going to look to him when you need, hey, send him down for a jump ball, make plays. I really think he's going to be that guy. But then also another, I guess, easy answer in this sense too, is Najee Harris, where he's going to be, you know, he's going to be that check down option. He's going to have easy opportunity for you to say, hey, we need 3 yards. Najee's good for five here, in that situation where he's not, you know, it's not a running play, but you just kind of dink and dunk off to him. I think that in my mind, those three are going to be the situation where it's like, all right, this works for the Steelers, and they know that they have a safety net in these three guys. But also don't be surprised throughout the entirety of this, of the wide receivers, of the tight ends. I mean, we heard what Mitch Trubisky had to say about Pat Freiermuth. We know the connection that they have. I mean, a lot of these guys, that's why this offense to me is not going to crumble, because of the fact that they have those strong key skill players in other areas where it's like, hey, the pocket might be collapsing, but we know that Trubisky, Pickett, whoever's going to be under center, can be willing to take that hit, knowing I have my guy downfield. I have him where he needs to be. I'm going to find him. We're going to get that first down. We're going to keep this drive moving.
We certainly saw that in the Lions game in the 2-minute drill. Mitch Trubisky chucked it up to Pat Freiermuth over the middle for a big gain to get them down and deep into the red zone. And that was, I thought that was real. That was really big. And we've even seen, not just from Trubisky, but also from Pickett, also from Rudolph, the middle of the field is back for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm like, oh snap. We talked about this a little bit more yesterday with Josh Taylor, but the middle of the field being back, I think, is also part of this, because when before, especially last year, a lot of times when Ben Roethlisberger was in trouble, you saw him look to the sidelines or look behind the line of scrimmage. But down the middle part of the field is often the best place to attack. And I think we've seen a bit of that with even Kenny Pickett. The one play in the Jaguars game when Kendrick Green just let a defensive lineman just walk past him and walk into a gap. Kenny Pickett completed a pass to Freiermuth that went for like 15, 20 yards or something like that. Yeah. And it was because he attacked the middle part of the field. To me, that also plays a factor into this. And that's why I think Pat Freiermuth, he's right up there. And again, Jenna, you named three people and didn't even name Pat Freiermuth. You also didn't name Chase Claypool. Like, that's the excitement, and that's what I'm saying for people. I do think there's reason to believe that this offense can function off of those playmakers who could come up and find ways to make exceptional plays where other receivers might have needed to make average plays because their offensive line was able to hold up better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's going to be the thing, is like, you have so many guys that are known to make those plays. And again, I don't want to, you know, we're not throwing shade to Ben Roethlisberger by any means, but I think to a lot of people, there's going to be just more that this offense is able to do based on what Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, and if Mason Rudolph is in, Mason Rudolph, what these three guys can do that Ben necessarily couldn't the last 2-3 years.
Absolutely. And we've seen it in this training camp, right? Training camp, preseason, all of it. I mean, plays where Mitch Trubisky has spun out of the pocket, went on the move, Kenny Pickett done the same thing, and thrown down the field a bit. I mean, there was one pass against the Lions where Kenny Pickett did that, broke outside the pocket, and hit Gunnar Olszewski in the hands in the end zone. It was just, there was also some tight coverage, and it was just a bit of hot of a ball. But still, the ability to do that, that's something that people thought that wouldn't just come back to the Steelers, because that's what Ben Roethlisberger did in his prime, back when he was young, and prime Ben Roethlisberger. He couldn't do that as much in recent years. And I think a lot of people just thought, oh, that's just never coming back. But That's why they wanted both of these guys, because they had at least the athletic profile to pull that off. They may not have all the pieces the way Ben Roethlisberger did for so long, but this is why I think people are so excited. And that's why I also think they said, hey, you know what? We're going to accept the offensive line as a weakness right now while we make these other parts of the team stronger. Because that's another thing I see a lot of people, Jenna, all the time saying, well, they're dumb because they didn't address the offensive line. It's not that they're dumb. They said, hey, these are places where these picks or these signings are possible right now. We're going to take advantage of these strengths that are in front of us. We'll go back and get the offensive line later. They had to make a sacrifice, and that seems to be the area they have sacrificed. Now it's just up to Matt Canada and that offense to show, hey, we're able to weather the storm of a rough offensive line rather than just getting ravaged every day. That'll be the test, is can they keep overcoming it? Because eventually it will catch up to them. We've seen that in years past when the Steelers, even in their Super Bowl year with Ben Roethlisberger, he got sacked 9 times by the Philadelphia Eagles once. That, you know, that happened, but they also got better from that. I think that's what they're hoping from this group.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, kind of what you're saying before too, it's like one of those, it has to get better. You feel like it just absolutely has to. And again, that's something that all of these guys had said, something head coach Mike Tomlin has said. We hear it all the time when we're at practice, just the fact that all these guys know we need to improve. This is not up to our standard. We want to fix this. We want to be an offensive line that can hold up and can protect our quarterback and can get the run game going. And obviously, those are things that they're working on, but we also knew that it was going to take a little bit of time just with all the new pieces there. You have guys switching positions. You have multiple new players getting into this system, adjusting to this offense. It wasn't going to be one of those things where you flipped a switch and all of a sudden, oh, look, the Steelers offensive line went from not great to middle of the road type of thing. That is something I think you can kind of see, and what a lot of people I think will hope to see as the season progresses. But it wasn't just going to be a one, you know, this was going to fix everything immediately. This, right, unfortunately, is not the Colts offensive line. And in that regards, and just with the, you know, I mean, the Colts offensive line, I could talk about them for days. The talent that they have there is ridiculous. But this is something too, again, when everybody looks towards the draft and said, oh, well, they went for Kenny Pickett. Oh, well, they went for George Pickens. Like, obviously, the Steelers war room, they have a lot more insight into what's happening there and what's going on. But I think the reality is, like, you do have to pick and choose, and you do have to make sacrifices at some points. And for the Steelers, they decided, hey, this is where we're going with this. We can live with this right now and make adjustments as we feel need be.
That's what they're going to have to do, is live with it. But those adjustments, I think that's part of what they're going to have to do. But this is what Mike Tomlin's done for years. They found a way to lead the NFL in sacks again last year while having the worst rushing defense in the NFL. I don't know how to search that right away, but I'm pretty sure that's never happened before in the history of the NFL, that a team was so bad against the run, but the best against in the pass rush department. That's they find ways to win even when they're outmatched in certain situations. That's, again, why Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, why the Steelers have remained competitive in all his years there. And I think this year you're going to see them find another way to kind of circumvent their problems at the offensive line. It's not going to be all hunky-dory. I'm not saying that it's just going to be easy and a walk in the park. Oh, you don't need an offensive line, but they're going to find ways to minimize those weaknesses. I think that that's what they've done with the talent that they have been able to bring in. We just got to see it work out on game day, and that's next week against the Cincinnati Bengals that it all starts. We got one more break. When we come back, we got to talk about the safety room, because this went from being a deep room that had a lot of confidence and we were going to see a lot of different packages to this room might need a little bit of help to get to midseason when they get their reinforcements back. We'll talk about what's going on there in just a minute. So stay tuned right here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter with Jenna Harner. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, this about a month ago, when you and I were watching training camp, there was a lot of excitement about the safety group, because even with Minkah Fitzpatrick hurt at the time, he eventually would come back. We knew that was happening. You saw Terrell Edmonds consistent as always. Yes, but you saw DeMonte KZ, and everyone was like, ooh, that guy's good. He's making plays. And then you still had Trey Norwood, and you're like, do I count four safeties you can have confidence in? And then you still had Miles Killebrew, and he was a decent special teamer slash if he's your fifth safety, you're not mad about it. And then you had Carl Joseph, who could jump in the slot, help with your coverage around the field. You had six safeties. You were like, yeah, great, awesome. That I love that. Men, Miles Killebrew gets hurt. He's out for a bit of time. We don't know when he'll be back. Then Carl Joseph gets hurt. Looks like he's done for the season. And then in the last preseason game, Devontae KZ gets hurt. And he has an injury. Now, supposedly his injury only means he's out 6 weeks. That's according to Mark Caboli of The Athletic. He's saying that it said that he'll be back probably for week four-ish around there. So that's not terrible. But that does put a damper on the plans to say, like, hey, just the Steelers are going to have rotating safeties everywhere. Jenna, there is a confidence about Trey Norwood. I think he had a very good training camp, just like he did last year, and he definitely took steps forward. But it has me wondering if they're going to be able to roll out as many of those, you know, more safety-heavy packages that they were thinking they could put out this year, because we saw a lot of those in training camp when they were, you know, trying to confuse their quarterbacks.
And Chris, you can definitely explain this a little bit better than I can just with the nuance of all of it. But when they were having KZ in there, it allowed Edmonds to be in the slot. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Slot in the box, yep.
It allowed Edmonds, to have him. And he, that was an area of strength of his. And I think a lot of fans were seeing that and being like, oh, wait a second. We like him here, knowing that Devontae KZ was and just having that flexibility that they really haven't had the last couple of years. And a lot of people felt really comfortable with the fact that, okay, you know, some people aren't as high on on Edmonds as, you know, I was gonna say Trey Edmonds, that's one of the brothers, as high on Darrell Edmonds. But the fact that that seemed to play to his strengths, having KZ in there as well. So I know that's another one of those, you know, oh, we're letting more air out of the balloon type situations just because of the fact of the versatility and the flexibility that it allowed the Steelers to have when it came to the safety position.
Right. And that was a big part of it was, and I said this going into when they signed KZ, if he could be the deep safety option to kind of float back and let Minkah Fitzpatrick come up more, that would allow them, those two guys, to do that while Terrell Edmonds helped in the slot, helped against the tight end, or just played in the box, because Terrell Edmonds is absolutely, we've seen, he's okay in the deeper part of the field, but he's very good closer to the line of scrimmage, especially in coverage and helping against the run. We even saw some games where he was making as many plays as the linebackers were making, or even more sometimes, attacking the run. We saw that especially against the Jaguars. So I do agree that was part of the flexibility, but now that flexibility is going to be questionable near there. They're still excited about Trey Norwood. I think that he has had a very good camp, and I think that he's going to be used a bit more, but they were hoping for him to kind of be more of a spare guy that they threw in occasionally and let him grow a little bit more before they put him there. KZ, a guy who at one point has led the NFL in interceptions, a guy at one point who, you know, was a consistent starter, he's a guy that when you put the three of those safeties on the field, KZ, Edmonds, and Fitzpatrick, you almost couldn't tell for sure who would line up deep for the Steelers at safety, if, you know, whether it was one guy or two guys, because any one of them could fly up and help underneath. And that was an advantage that was there. I think it's going to test now the Steelers' ability to survive without that, because that was a sub package that they were going to use. It doesn't take away the bread and butter of the defense, but it was one of those things that I think that they were hoping would be really good. And one of those things they've invested into with the money that they didn't have to pay Ben Roethlisberger was making sure that they had that many veterans who could take on those type of roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something I think a lot of people were looking forward to seeing, just knowing, especially looking at, I mean, your week one opponent, obviously there's such a threat there from Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase and that deep ball that we know he's capable of. And so I think a lot of Steelers fans were really optimistic about the fact that, hey, we have this here where you don't entirely know what it's going to look like. It just adds another wrinkle to that defense on top of the fact that you have TJ Watt being TJ Watt. You have Alex Highsmith not, you know, hopefully returning in time for week one. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's still on track for that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have, you know your strengths there. You know your strengths up front with the line, and you know when you have Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi and Tyson Alualu up there, the run defense is going to look better. And you know that, hey, in the backfield, you have a lot of confidence in the guys that you have there. And with your cornerbacks and with the cornerback room, what it was looking like, it kind of seemed like it was kind of all fitting together. And it was like, all right, things are looking really good now. This defense is really solid. This is going to be something that we know the Steelers are really going to look to rest on this year, as we've been saying, because of the offensive line issues with this team. So I think that now it's a little more of a, okay, it's not ideal in terms of losing KZ and, you know, having not as much depth at that position as you initially thought you were going to. It just kind of makes it, okay, you know, we had all of these options and now we have to come down to these options.
Right. Exactly. And it also means you're going to be looking at some of your guys a little bit harder, like the linebackers. You know, part of this was also to help relieve them in coverage a little bit more and let them be more aggressive in the run game. But that's why you got athletic guys like Miles Jack and Devin Bush. And I will say again, the Steelers saw progress in Devin Bush. I know some people didn't see enough of it in their eyes as fans, but when I asked Miles Jack about Devin Bush, he was smiling. He was like, he's getting it. He's getting it back. And I think that's a factor that if both of them can help cover and help against the run, it'll negate not having that three safety package. It'll be great when all of them are on the field together. If the Steelers can get that healthy, that would be awesome. I think that would be the ultimate vision of how this defense could have so many guys that cover in so many directions and confuse quarterbacks as far as who's covering where at what time. That's one of those things that I think Terrell Austin really wants to get to, but they still, I think, have the personnel to work that. And like you said, up front, Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith. TJ Watt also said in the locker room on a Wednesday that his knee injury was not that bad. He could have played on it if he wanted to. The coaches just wanted to take it easy. And now he has basically 2 weeks to heal from that. And Jenna wipes the sweat away from her forehead because that was a relief when everyone saw him kind of limp off after that hit from TJ Hockenson on his knee. There was a lot of concern there. But still, again, there's enough talent on this defense to make up for the loss of you know, your safety depth that you were hoping for to have flexibility. But still, I think at some point, if they can get all those guys healthy and the rest of the defense healthy for an extended period of time so they can build chemistry in live games, that's when this defense can be its trickiest and get up there. I think they might have a chance to lead the NFL in turnovers.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we know that this defense is so strong in those regards in terms of the fact that you know TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith are going to get to the quarterback, but it just kind of adds that next layer of, okay, now you have guys where, good luck throwing the ball down the field. And we know the opponents the Steelers are facing. It's going to be intriguing too, to kind of see how some of the young quarterbacks fare against this defense. I'm already circling week two, Mac Jones, seeing how he's going to look. You know, there's so much optimism there that when they do get some of these guys back, and again, luckily, if it is KZ, if he does return around week four, that will seemingly, you know, add that extra boost. And again, because you never know when injuries can happen, but just knowing that you have guys there that can make every other position group's job a little bit easier, I think that's going to give Steelers fans a lot more to be excited about as the season does progress.
Certainly, I think there is a lot to be excited about for the Steelers team. So we will keep you updated with everything here, but for now, enjoy the weekend. I guess I was amiss when I messed up when I said that we finally get football. We can finally get NFL football this week because there is college football, and you know, the backyard brawl just happened last night, but there's a lot of great action Saturday. Take it in, football fans. It's back. We're back, and it's going to be such an exciting fall season. Steelers fans, I think you're going to have a lot to be excited about. Do check out everything that we have here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Remember, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Odyssey. Jenna, let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and on WPXI we have a whole lot coming as the season is just about to start. We'll be in Cincinnati for week one. I cannot wait. We got all your high school coverage on Skylights. Chris is taking the reins this week because I will be out of town, and just all the coverage that we consistently bring you. So definitely stay tuned on Channel 11.
Absolutely. Do stay tuned. I'll be there Friday. I'm not sure if I'm there Sunday with the final word. I got to talk to Dean, our boy Dean, about that. But absolutely do check out all the great work at Channel 11 that Jenna and the team does over there. They are awesome. Thanks again, Jenna, for joining the show. And thank you all for checking out the show on Locked On Steelers. As always, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're enjoying the podcast, please, if you're joining the podcast on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content when we release it. If you're liking us and you want to help us out even further, go on Apple Podcasts, use a 5-star review with a positive comment. Do both at the same time. You get a shout out at the end of the show. Like this person, we got Austin Beeson, who says, best podcast. Chris Carter knocks it out of the park every day. I start my day with Locked On every morning, and it gets better every day and makes me realize some things I don't even see. #Let's go Steeler Nation. Thank you, Austin. Aftermath, the podcast in the U.S. Appreciate you, Austin, for giving us the shout out. If you want your shout out, give us the 5-star review, the positive comment on Apple Podcasts. It helps out all of us. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday, first week of the season. We'll be here, right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.